Hey, buddy.
Hi, bro.
How you doing?
I'm alive.
I'm glad to hear it. Because despite all of the existential dread that is just slowly crushing down on us and pressing into our chest like a large flat stone waiting to squeeze what little remains of our life from us, I'm doing well, too.
Good. Good. Well, friends, let's start it off early, and I'll say I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. Man,
it's good to talk to you guys like this again. We have been doing live podcast recordings the past few months because I think I speak for both of us when I say we're lazy as shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're lazy, and that's okay to be lazy sometimes. But right now, we definitely needed to up our quality game again as far as our audio. We had some real rough sounding episodes.
Yeah. I think especially trying to do audio where you're recording it simultaneously and then going live at the same time. And then there's latency issues that you're dealing with a lot more stuff than I think we realized at first. So we decided, especially that today is sort of like a transition episode, that it was going to be a good idea to just come around and give ourselves some good quality audio again, maybe to represent what it is that we're moving forward with in the coming year, because today we're going to announce some changes, some things that are a little different with the Quarantine Book Club as we move forward. But that doesn't mean we're going away. It just means that we're changing a little bit, as we damn well should.
Yeah, Halloween, and I'm sorry, Halloween kind of broke us.
Why do you say it broke you?
Because we read what is possibly some of the worst trash that we could possibly read in a short amount of time, and some not so bad books. That was actually what I think did it, was the reading of a piece of fiction that was enjoyable to read.
Brian Hodge, thank you.
Yeah.
Author Brian Hodge, thank you for putting us into this predicament.
Who's also a really good dude, and is like, follow him on Twitter because he's a good guy. And I like seeing his tweets. He doesn't tweet a lot. He tweets enough that I can see it and go, oh, hey, he's a thoughtful dude who says nice things about people and has nice projects happening. And he's a horror writer. And we discovered him because he wrote a book for Nightmare on Elm Street compilation. And he was like, oh, my God, you guys. You read like, that forever ago.
Please be kind. Please be kind. And there was no need to not be kind.
No, it was great.
Because if you got a chance to listen to that episode, you know, we were able to really enjoy and actually analyze a story as opposed to just get angry about it. And like you said, I actually sort of think, yeah, you're right, that it broke us a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I realized what I realized from it was that it's like, this is our time to reflect and learn. We're now reflecting and learning. Is that what I took away from it was that I enjoy myself more. Newsflash, I enjoy myself more when I get to read things that are semi-enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. It's as if reading terrible things is not fun. That reading bad things is bad.
Are you serious?
It's not like we're going to stop reading bad things. We're going to still keep reading bad things, but we're going to intersperse good things in there. And hopefully people want to hear about the good things that we read.
I think so, too. I think that we need to I think it's one thing to the Quarantine Book Club has been based. We wanted to start going, let's read a bunch of shit so that way nobody else needs to. Mm-hmm. But it was also sort of a passion of enjoyment because some of the shit we were reading was stuff that we either did read or wanted to read. Mm-hmm. And it began simply getting so difficult to read bad things because you can't even analyze them. You can't talk for an hour and a half about bad things other than just going, this fucking sucks.
It got really tiring just saying over and over again, this is not good and I hate it.
Yeah.
And that became the qualifying factor for every book was it's not good and I hate it. And then what do you have to say about it? It sucks.
Yeah.
Like you can only say it sucks so many times, and you can't really, if a thing has no merit to it, then you can't discuss it in any type of manner that provides serious content other than just a summary of a book.
Yes. Which you can't, when something is given no care in its creation, then you can't even adventure into it too much further to pick it apart.
Yeah.
But you know, good art, good drawing, good writing, good painting, music, those are those things that you can break down and understand, like get into the creator's head a little bit. I also think one of the things that we hadn't been doing to ourselves is we were giving ourselves some themes, mm-hmm. but we weren't giving ourselves tools for comparison, which is something that we're actually going to be changing as we get into January of 2021.
Right.
Because we're sort of shifting to a monthly theme idea and balancing it out with here are some potentially good or potentially bad books. And so if we read a good one, that's a tool for immediate comparison for the bad one. Why is this one bad as it fits into this theme? Because why? We read something that's really good. For those of you who can't see because you can't because this is all audio, Bob is dealing with his cat at the moment, who is all over. Mine was just all over me as well. This is the cat Quintine book club.
I love it.
Core cat teen book club.
He's been, because I've been back home, I'm back into job quarantine again. Mm-hmm. They shut down our school and he's
it seems like your job really likes you.
Mm.
It seems like your job has at least a modicum of interest in your personal, your bodily health.
No, it seems like my job just doesn't need me.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, mine doesn't either. That's really interesting.
Oh. they actually have been a lot better than we originally thought they were going to be. And mm-hmm. they've been much, much more cautious with us than we suspected. And there've been,
I'm glad,
no problems. And I'm sorry that you are not having the same experience.
Ah, shit happens. You know what? Sometimes you learn things. You learn. It's time to make your own changes for yourself, if you want to. And that's where I'm at. It's a satisfying feeling to know that when your job is not interested so much in your emotional or mental well-being or physical well-being for that matter, or the physical well-being of a massive amount of people, then you know what? It's actually a good time to find a place that's kinder to you to be. So that's a good thing. It's a good realization to come to that, even though it makes me just want to punch myself in the face.
Well, it's a good thing that nobody from your work will ever support you in anything that you do. So they'll never hear this.
I don't give a shit if they do or not anyway.
That's how I feel about all my outside projects. I'm like, I don't have to worry about anybody from work ever hearing it because they don't care.
You know, all you got to do is just shout a few cuss words now and then, and they're like, oh, this offends my sensibilities. It's not art whatsoever.
Good. Don't listen to it. Don't yeah. fucking listen to my bullshit, man. Let's go ahead and put it back out there right now. If you're Trump 2020, don't listen to my podcast. God,
nope. If you're Trump 2020, the best thing that's happened to you is that your man didn't catch a 30-06 to the forehead. That's what.
Wow, I don't know if I can publish that, man.
You might need to. You might need to remove that part.
Man, I was trying not to do any editing this episode, but
well, now you got to.
Why did we just need to edit that?
Because
Rance said
that is potentially bad. I didn't. Oh, no, I said more so that it's like the best thing that happened is that he didn't. Right?
Is fucking idiot president going to listen to our podcast? I don't know. Maybe.
No.
Does Apple have an algorithm where when you say the word president, that it like it immediately listens to it?
I hope not. I hope they do because it means.
It's one less thing I got to fucking do.
It means that, yeah, they look at it and they go, well, this is not something we can any more accept here on Apple Podcasts. In my head, there's a guy at Apple Podcasts that sounds like NPR, mm-hmm. and he's just sitting there spinning CDs. They take every podcast and they turn it into a CD. And he doesn't just put it into a machine. He spins them over top of a single stationary laser. Yep. Yeah. And so he's like, today on the Quarantine Book Club, here is episode 12. Bob and Rance talk about unreasonable things. If you have a donation you'd like to make to Apple Podcasts, please consider donating.
Bro, I actually think this is episode 26.
Oh, well, I don't know where all the other ones went, but
we did a lot. I mean, it's episode 13, I think.
Right, because you're looking at your different works. But that's what we're going to be cleaning up this
That is one of the things.
This season. Yes. This season.
We'll say that next episode is officially the start of a new season. I'm not even going to count this as a season episode. I'll list it as a special episode. Bonus content.
So what are we calling it? Season two?
Yeah. I mean, what else are we going to call it?
Season Quarantine Book Club Podcast Season 2.
Season the second spike.
Season 2.
Yeah, Season 2 is great.
Okay, thanks. Cool. I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page with that.
So I'll start numbering episodes S2, M1, E1.
Oh, God. People are going to get so angry. We can just call it Season 2. I think we can make the graphics say, see, here we go. This is how we plan the podcast. I think we make the graphics say Season 2 in general, like a little like stamp in the corner. It's like, boo, Season 2. That's the noise of a stamp. Boo, Season 2. But like the episode gets to be like stamp. Episode something, and then the title.
Okay, are we gonna start with the same number of episodes, or do we want to start renumbering it? So it's like Season 2, Episode 1. Because on our podcast providing software and host, I can start a second season.
Should we just delete the podcast and start from the beginning?
Why don't we just delete the podcast and not read books anymore?
Well, guys, it's been great coming to you from the Quarantine Book Club. My name is Rance.
I'm Bob.
And that was completely a joke, but this is what happens when you get so far into something and you've dedicated yourself to an idea, and then you realize that about halfway through you need to sort of rebrand. Mm-hmm. You hit this wall. It's like you have to take this edge. You have to plunge, right? You have to take a plunge, but you don't know what that plunge is going to be. It's going to be a change. There's going to be something that happens. You're going to swan dive right into it. But also then you have to suffer like all the stuff you did in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a thing that you experience, Bob? Would you say like you have sometimes a hard time when you move forward or you're continuing to change, progress, grow, create, that you also have to suffer that you've created things in the past that didn't live up to that standard?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like, all of the old YouTube stuff that we used to do on our old website. Thank God my old blog disappeared and that like WordPress shut that down because it was inactive for years because I was like, oh, what a piece. It was the blog was literally called I'm a Hideous Piece of Shit. And I went back and I read it one day and I was like, I'm really ashamed of the things that I wrote in here. I really was a hideous piece of shit.
Yeah, that's all the stuff though that as time comes that you use to change, right, as a tool for change. And it wasn't that you were writing anything hateful. Holy crap, the cat just knocked the hell out of her own head on the desk.
That's what that noise was?
Yes, as she was jumping up, she hit her forehead. You okay, buddy? Oh. You okay? This is now the Quarantine Cat Protection Podcast.
My cat's right here. He's sitting next to me. I just talked to him, and so he, like, turned and got really excited. Let's start a podcast about our cats.
That's a great idea.
I love my cat. We could start right now. This episode.
Let's do it. This is the Quarantine Cat Club Cast.
So since I've been home,
Apple Podcasts,
Apple Prop Caps. Since I've been home, I also have I have a child sitting at the top of the steps, reading to himself.
It's not hearable. Thank God. Reading in the youth is an unfortunate. Nobody needs that. Kids should not read.
No, he's not reading. Never mind. He's playing games. He's playing video games. Give me a second. What video game are you playing? Fortnite. He's playing Fart Nut.
Well, I couldn't hear it, so that was good.
Yeah, cool. Okay. My cat has been all over me the past week. Like, he lays next to me in my little workspace area on a little bed that I made for him. He climbs up on my lap sometimes. He likes to purr and headbutt my microphone when I'm using it. He's a good cat. He hates everybody else.
He seems like a good cat.
How's your cat?
My cat's 19 years old. Mm-hmm. I got a dog.
Right.
So the cat's fine.
Good.
She literally doesn't give a shit. So yesterday we were bringing the dog inside. The dog's a puppy, so the dog's trying to like learn life. Mm-hmm. And we bring the dog inside and the cat is sitting in front of the door where the dog is.
Because the cat likes to go outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she turns. And she walks slowly into the living room slowly. And the dog is behind her, and the dog can't get past her because the dog's terrified. And the dog's like, it's like a puppy, so it's like tail is wagging behind it, but it like doesn't want to pass the cat. And the cat just gets slower and slower and looks behind it at the dog like, you're going to go at my fucking pace. And that's it.
Your cat is an ornery asshole.
And then when she got into the living room, she like separated and like stepped and like moved away, mm-hmm. and then just turned T-bone towards the dog and sat and stared. And the dog didn't know what the hell to do. So like the dog got down on her like front paws and was like staring at the cat, but knew that like if I get close to cat, I cannot play with cat. If I get close to cat, I will get sliced by cat.
Is the cat showing the dog what's up?
Oh, absolutely, once already. And that's really? You know, I know that, as you know, maybe that's not the best thing to happen. It did happen. We weren't trying to introduce the cat and the dog like that, but of course animals just happen to do their own thing sometimes. And you're like, oh my God, the dog got away from me, or the cat isn't doing what I needed to at this moment. Holy shit. They're staring at each other. What do I do?
And this has been,
it's like watching someone Apple Petcast. It's like watching someone bobble like uranium and not knowing what's going to happen. And you're like, but I don't want to reach in and grab the uranium. That's bad for my body. But if I don't, also reality is going to get destabilized. So I'm just going to watch.
Reality bending powers.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about dragons the other day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A good dragon and a good book bends reality.
Talking about a good book. I know. I guess maybe we should talk about what we're doing coming up.
All right. Good idea. So let's talk about the end of this year, mm-hmm. moving into, so they're technically the beginning of our next season.
Yes.
So I would venture to say that our next episode is the official beginning of Quarantine Book Club Season 2.
A podcast.
So what is it that we are going to be reading for the whole month of December?
We are going to be reading and have already started reading, mm-hmm. thankfully, Dune by Frank Herbert. I almost said Robert Howard. I was like, well, nope, not that. That's not. We're not reading Conan.
You and I have never. Neither of us have ever read Dune.
No, and I'm. Right. I'm glad I'm reading it. I have a lot of thoughts. I can't wait to discuss it with you. It actually makes me. I love going back and reading old sci-fi.
Me too.
Especially from that era, because it makes me realize how derivative everything that came after is a lot of times. Reading Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Right.
One of these days I'm going to have to read Starship Troopers. I know I'm going to have to read Ender's Game. I kind of, knowing some of the themes that are present in them, I've kind of avoided them.
Sure.
But I feel like maybe the work is important as far as understanding them. I could have gotten those, but as my fiance walks in with all of the Thanksgiving liquor and...
Well, hey, it's Thanksgiving liquor. It mm-hmm. needs to go cold really quick.
Yeah, that's why we're putting it in the basement fridge, because we've got a beer fridge.
There is a to a lot of that, like 50s, 60s sci-fi, there's almost sometimes a tongue-in-cheek quality to it where it's so clever. It knows that it's a satire of something. Mm-hmm. You might not know that it's a satire of something, but it knows it's a satire of something. Starship Troopers is like that. Android Dream of Electric Sheep is like that. Mm-hmm. Ubik by Philip K. Dick is one of my favorites, and it's like that. In fact, I was thinking a lot of Ubik lately. Because I had recently replayed BioShock from 2007.
Yeah.
And I am remarkably fascinated by the connections that can be made between Philip K. Dick's Ubik and BioShock,
right.
Which I honestly didn't think about. I hadn't really played BioShock when I read Ubik, and then I did, and I was sort of like, whoa, something. And these things are, you know, they're critical. They're so, the commentary is so powerful, so critical, that it does read like satire. And Dune, in these preliminary moments, as we talk about it, before we talk about it, mm-hmm. Dune doesn't come across that way. Dune comes across as an epic, a sci-fi epic that is less interested in commentary and more about telling a fantastical story in a sci-fi world that almost wants to be fantasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's... oh my gosh, you're being so loud over there. Jeez. I'm enjoying a deep, flavorful book again. That's really nice. And I mean that as a person who listened to like Dresden and listens to some newer sci-fi, mm-hmm. It takes a long... And again, I don't want to get too far into it because we're going to talk about it next episode, but it takes a long time to get where it's going, but it's never painful, and it's not a slog. It's very long and not a lot of content for its length, as far as plot content.
Right. It's very focused on a political intrigue, mm-hmm. world development. That's actually something I do want to talk about next week, is how world development has changed in the past, I'm going to say 65 years of writing, the way that we develop worlds in fantasy books, because what I've found about 50s and 60s sci-fi, and sci-fi even before that, or fantasy before that, is that the world building is clumsy at best. Mm-hmm. Not because it intends to, but because it's almost like these authors are dealing with a reading public that they have to gain the trust of, who have never read something like this before. So they don't know what world building is.
I mean, you're like, if you think about this, and you go back to, and that's great, cause we can have a conversation like this and this is fun. You look at Tolkien, who was so much about world building, and the general public didn't know what to do with that.
Not at all. And his world building was biblical, mm-hmm. in nature. It came across like Bible writing, because that's the world building that people were aware of, was the story of creation as seen by Christian theology and philosophy.
And you've got like Howard, who didn't world build for shit. Like,
no,
as far
not at
as
all.
I'm just, concerned, it was because it was whatever short story he was writing, the world fit to that. Yes, you knew that like Samaria was a thing, but like he had a world, but his world wasn't fleshed out as far as like every new story, his world was where it went, was where it needed to be for that story to take place.
Oh, and because his protagonist was a remarkably low power, perhaps is the right word, but you know, it was low fantasy. So these things went over his head more or less.
Yeah. He was like smash and grab.
Yes. Conan was smash and grab, and the world went on around. So the world, which was full of fantastic things, was almost inaccessible to Conan. He was just like, I'm going to fucking break it with my thews. My thews will break it with me.
And I don't, it's been a long time since I've read Conan. So I don't remember whether like, I know there's definitely problematic themes and issues in Conan.
100%.
But I don't think that it falls into as bad as his good buddy Lovecraft.
I was going to say, well, Lovecraft is the other one I was thinking of, who didn't world build for shit. He just racist. That's all he did. Lovecraft just did a racism, and that was what he thought was world building.
Yeah, going from there, you know, we're in the middle of Dune right now.
Yeah,
there's a reason that I'm changing subject but staying on subject. We're reading Dune. We're going to do that for December because it starts with the D, and that seemed like a good theme.
It's also a nice callback to the way we began the podcast, which was reading Doom.
Yeah,
and when I was a kid, I was more into Doom than I was Dune.
Yes.
And so when people said, I really like Dune, I was like, I really like Dune as well. And they're like,
no, dude, because Dune.
I meant Pomadib Dune.
I mean,
I mean Doom, right?
Doom. I need Doom. I just need to look at,
but
I need to look at a calendar real quick. Okay, cool. So it's November. I'm looking at December. Okay, so
yes,
it is now We'll record our first episode. Are we recording it next week?
I do believe. Okay. Now, are we shifting? Here's a question that is in the moment that anybody who is listening to this podcast will go, these guys are so organized. They know their shit right at the moment.
Yes.
Are we shifting to a 2-episode per month system, or are we shifting still per week?
I think that we should do 2 episodes per month or every other week.
Okay.
I do not think that we should record every week. It gets tiring, especially it gives us time to dig into these thicker books. Oh man, these nice thick juicy books, and really give it a chance to enjoy reading them, to not feel stressed about getting through them, and have a decent conversation every 2 weeks.
Sure.
No matter what we do, we tend to end up having an episode that's an hour and a half long, no matter what we try to do. So let's at least have content in that episode that is functional and listenable, as opposed to just saying it sucks for an hour and a half.
This also allows us to transition to organizing our episodes a little more, finding specific anchor points of content. Like, we're always going to, this is the part of the episode we're talking about really quick, what the plot is, some of the background of the book, some of the background of the author. Okay. Now it's spoiler alert, you know, and then get into some of the more precious details of it.
Yes.
And I do think that doesn't mean that we're not going to be doing content on those off weeks, but rather that may be, you know, it may be few and far between, but rather that we're going to be leaning more and more into ensuring that we can provide better content.
Mm-hmm. And that we can produce our official episodes.
Yes.
Once a week, or I mean, once every other week, twice a month. And, you know, take the time to edit the episode if we need to, and to go, okay, let's actually take a week from the time we recorded this episode to put all of the content up functionally.
Yeah.
You were staring at whatever you were staring at for a minute there, bro. And it just looked like you like Discord had frozen. So in saying that, going through, December, looking at the dates, the way December works, if we record on Mondays, as we do, and then turn around a week later, release on Mondays, that would mean that we would record next Monday for our first episode on Dune, skip 2 weeks, finish Dune if we can. And then that would leave us with another week to record in December, which if we wanted to, then
I think I have a feeling that we could be stuck with Dune for 3 weeks.
And that's cool. However you want to do it. Cause I was going to say we could take the opportunity to actually watch the movie.
The new one.
I don't think the new one's going
to
be out yet.
We might need to watch the original.
Yeah. The original one. Let me actually look to see if there's a release date for the new Dune. Cause I don't know.
It's probably been pushed back.
It totally has, because it's a lot of 2021.
Yeah. Well, that might be an opportunity. We might need to do a retrospective at some point. Like, that's additional content, right? That's something we can do.
But I definitely mean the original movie.
Sure. How the original movie, isn't it? Was it originally released as a miniseries or something like that, or was it just a movie?
I think it was just a movie.
Okay, for some reason, I am remarkably underinformed when it comes to that.
That's okay. I've seen it once, like when I was a teenager. I barely remember anything about it. A friend of mine actually on Facebook the other day posted a picture of all of the like Bene Gesserit women from the movie together, and it said the Spice Girls.
That's really great.
Yeah, and I cracked up.
Their hair in that movie was remarkable.
And that's what I'm saying, man. It was super cool.
Remarkable.
And, I'm enjoying it enough that I'm looking forward to living in that world as far as a couple of films. And the new movie is also being broken into 2 parts.
Okay. Because nowadays we can't do anything in just one.
Also, I think it's a lot of, there's enough of it that it probably might need the 2 parts.
You know, I heard there was another series that really needed a lot of movies, and they managed to crush it down to an hour and 45 minutes. And that was a little series that doesn't really matter much called The Dark Tower. They managed to
crush it down to an hour and a half. Do you mean they failed and nobody wanted to watch it because it was apparently really bad?
Hot take, though. It is. It's bad. Mm-hmm. Watch it. It's bad. If you called it by any other name, if it wasn't The Dark Tower and you managed to change everybody's names and it's something else, it wouldn't have been a bad movie. But the expectations of it being a Dark Tower movie. And look, I got a hand in the air. I got to say, those previews, man, they sold me. The previews for the movie were so good.
Right.
Those trailers, some of the best trailers I'd seen in years. And nowadays, I am that person who, like, I'm going to get drawn in by a trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a baby like that.
And, you know, it's funny. I'll maybe one day down the road. I know it's not planned for any of our upcoming months. We've got about, 6 months of content planned out now. And yes. If you want to see it, you can go to our website, www.thequarantinebookclub.com. And our schedule for the next, half year is up there. I don't know if you want to read it out loud here.
Sure. Yeah, so... So you see that we got December. So anybody who's checking that out, and this is if you happen to not check it out, you don't got to. You can go to the website now, but of course we can just talk to you. So December, we got the theme, it's Dune by Frank Herbert. January 2021 is when we really shift into our theme, like our good and bad theme. And what I'm saying by good and bad is that we're going to try to read one book that is considered good by all intents and purposes, and then one that may be either not the best or might be a nice change of pace from the good one, or vice versa. We're also, I think, here we had talked about our intent at the beginning of the Quarantine Book Club was to put our interest behind authors whose voices mattered.
Yes.
And that we're identifying, especially as we break out of a presidency that was dangerous to LGBTQIA people of color, that it really is our responsibility as white folks to and straight folks to give opportunity and to highlight voices that are otherwise unheard. So we're really trying to diversify a little bit when it comes to our reading as well. What I will say, dear world of diverse authors, just because you're on the Quarantine Book Club does not mean that in this case you're not gonna get torn apart. I want to respect the work as it is, right? And there's going to be things in some of these books that we're going to be like, yo, this is dumb. but still, it's still important even in doing that, even in criticism, to bring voice to, to allow people whose voices are traditionally unexpressed or underexpressed, the stories that are not told, to come forward. So I think we're trying to do that a little more. So in January 2021, we're starting with our superheroes and super zeros theme. We're starting with Dreadnought by April Daniels. And we're then ending with Spider-Man, The Darkest Hours by Jim Butcher. Dreadnought being a book that has gotten high acclaim, a new book written by an author, that is gender neutral, and then Spider-Man The Darkest Hours, which is a Spider-Man book written by the guy who does the Dresden Files.
Are you getting any further in that latest Dresden book?
A little bit, but I actually have been leaning more into Dune.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, save the Dresden stuff, man, for when you have time to just play.
That's sort of what I'm doing. I am savoring it. Mm-hmm. I'm savoring it.
Is it going a little better for you? I know that you were a little bit critical of it starting out.
I was a bit exhausted of it at first. It felt exhausting in a way that I wasn't ready to feel.
Really? See, that was was one of the things that I actually loved about it was how exhausting it was.
Did it get the pace got you going?
Yeah. No, it really got me going, man.
In February, and I loved it so much. So we go from our superheroes into February, we're going to cosmic horror, the darkest depths of dark things. We're starting with a critically acclaimed novel, Beneath the Rising by Premi Mohammed. And then we are going to end with At the Mountains of Madness by our boy, Mr. Racism himself, H.P. Lovecraft.
Like, I know you can love a Cthulhu thing. Like, I guess, like, that's a thing that people love. They love Cthulhu. They love the idea of the mythos of Cthulhu. It's a thing that I've never been into.
Fuck H.P. Lovecraft.
Cared, but, like, yeah, screw Lovecraft. Like, it's fine. Whatever. I guess Cthulhu is... Okay, here's a question for you before we continue on. Is Cthulhu his concept, or is Cthulhu an adopted concept that, like, the idea of the old ones? I mean, now it's so ingrained in our science fiction and fantasy minds that I no longer know. You know, it's everywhere.
It was rooted in like terror gods and things of that sort. So it's rooted in mythology.
Okay.
Whether that mythology, like Cthulhu, is, I believe at least Cthulhu in his embodiment is his own unique thing.
Okay.
But that cosmic horror is based in like, you know, thousands of years of terror and the unknown and these things as sources of fear, and the idea of like there being like terror gods or gods of great, the great unknown, the great beyond. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in old mythologies. And he actually references a lot of stuff. What's the gentleman's name? He wrote the King in Yellow. Things that were, I can't remember his name. Shit. Anyway,
English teacher problems.
If anybody out there who's watched the first season of True Detective has the King in Yellow all lashed up on their butt because that whole season was about it. H.P. Lovecraft was also referencing previous works too. And making those mythologies his own. In March, we are going into, I'm really excited about this one.
Okay.
We're going into a genre called lit RPG, which I actually hate the name of that genre. It's a fucking terrible name, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's all about, it's all literature based around the idea of, RPG worlds that people live in. Yeah. So popularly enough is like Ready Player One. But if you go deep enough into that, you get stories about people who go into like fantasy realms and there's like dice rolls and shit in the books. There's like calculation of damage in the books.
Okay. Yeah. I've read a couple of like, and maybe if this is what I'm thinking of, I've read a couple of books like NPCs. Where yes. It's a series about non-player characters that gain sentience in the world, because the world that like a Dungeons and Dragons style what do you call those things, module is written, yes, in is real, and yes, so like the players, there's players outside in the real world and they're running characters who interact with these non-player characters, but the non-player characters end up accidentally being the heroes of the story and, right, gaining adventurer hero-like abilities, and like everything they do kind of fucks with the module outside, and the guys who are playing the module are like, holy shit, why does this keep changing? What's happening?
It's like the literature RPG version of Westworld.
Okay.
You know, that there are these controlled worlds that something happens in, and of course the reader, the character, the main character becomes a part of this world and has to solve the problem or what have you. So we're going with the land, this title, The Land, Founding, Chaos Seeds, Book One by Alaron Kong. Survival Quest, Way of the Shaman, Book One by Vasily Mahanenko. That's translated into English, by the way. It's okay. Actually written in Russian. And then maybe if we get to it, if we got time and the inclination, Ready Player Two by Ernest Klein. If we have the inclination, because I think you and I are the same boat where I should give a fuck about the first book.
You know, it's funny, man. I read the first book. I enjoyed it at the time, and going back and like listening to, I couldn't get through Armada because I was like, here's the follow up.
It's the exact same book.
Yeah. And it is
the exact same book.
And it made me realize that like, yo, all Ernest Klein is doing is playing off of your nostalgia so hard that he's just an episode of The Big Bang Theory where insert 80s nerd reference, everybody laughs.
Mm hmm. Yep. Oh, I get that reference. Like there's a surge of excitement when somebody gets to go, I got that reference.
Yeah.
I got that reference.
And that's fine. It's like, I actually,
hey, I got that.
I didn't see the movie, but I feel like
I get that reference.
So what's the month? After
do you get that?
So the month do after that, April 2021,
you're just trucking along. You're like, you know what? This guy I'm done with. I'm sorry. Go for it.
April 21, 2021 is time in reality and definitely regretting that thing you did 6 years ago. So we are going to actually jump back to our friend of the show, Brian Hodge, and read one of his works, The Immaculate Void, and follow that up with Recursion by Blake Crouch.
My name is Blake Crouch.
No idea about any of these things.
My name is Blake Crouch.
But so we're talking about like bending reality and traveling through time.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's one of those, one of the other things that we had talked about is, oh, we're also going to be reaching out to some of these authors this year to see if we can get some of these authors to be part of the Quarantine Book Club on those days. Preferably what I would love, frankly, is for some of these authors not to join us for their book, but rather to join us for the books that we want to make fun of with their knowledge in mind, right? With mm-hmm. the knowledge of their book in mind.
Yeah.
And Brian Hodge is someone who had directly said on Twitter, he's like, hey, maybe with a little more knowledge beforehand, I would have been happy to join. Time is a little weird right now, but it might be a cool opportunity to do that. Yeah. One of the reasons for setting up a schedule like this was for us to reach out and do a little bit of that promo beforehand.
Absolutely. And one of the things that should be said about this entire schedule is for the entire last year or 6 months, the first season of the podcast, other than maybe Doom, I curated the reading list, and yeah. to both of our dismay and regret.
Yes.
And so I gave you the next 6 months and said, please, like, I really pushed for Dune because we had both wanted to read it. And that was like the last like thing that I had a hand in picking, because I really wanted to see what you as we spent the last 6 months reading shit that I picked out. And I wanted to see what not shit you would pick out with your literary
knowledge.
Oh,
there's still shit in here.
I know there's still shit, but I mean, I'm excited to see things from a person who curates a reading list for people to understand and appreciate English better, because that is a thing you do as a teacher as well. You don't just pick books because we're supposed to read them.
I hope.
You pick books because they have value and function and are enjoyable and hopefully give your students something other than just
the suffering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the suffering, right? They're not that video game released in 2002 where you're in the, I don't know if it was 2002. Can you look that up for me really quick?
The suffering. Oh my god.
If it's 2002, I'm going to feel real good about myself. For some reason, I feel like 2002 was like a prison games year. I'm going to say Manhunt came out that year as well.
Close, 2004.
But I don't know. Let's see the suffering. Was it
2004?
Oh, crap.
So damn close.
Okay. And also with the understanding, too, that these lists would change. If this was next year, the list is going to change somewhat, mm-hmm. too. This list is a moment in time. And truth be told, with appropriate amounts of planning, there's a possibility this list could change.
Yeah.
I don't want to change something in the month that we're in, obviously, but like, let's say we're looking at June from February and there's something that we suddenly want to put there. We totally can.
Yeah.
So I do know, however, that this list is really good. Some of our listeners out there, our friend Burgers, has already picked up one of these books.
Nice.
To start reading.
Nice.
And maybe this will give the opportunity for people out there listening to really pick and choose what it is that you want to listen to and comment on. You're always more than welcome to reach out to us on social media if you have any questions, or if you have any comments or things that you want to talk about when it comes to these books, do it. And we're always happy to have people join us on the podcast as well. I think some of our best material over the past few months has been inviting people into the fold and having them bitch about these books with us. So that's April. So then what are we doing in May?
In May, we are doing the pre-summer grab bag.
And there is absolutely no theme to these. Just honestly was like, my brain was melting and I was like, let's just actually loosen up from the theme for this part.
So the pre-summer grab bag is The Black Tides of Heaven by, is it G. Yang?
Yes.
Okay. The Strange Affair of Spring-Heeled Jack by Mark Hodder. And I know I've read that before, and it's an interesting piece. So I'm actually interested to see what The Black Tides of Heaven is, because You know, I don't, some of these books I know nothing about.
Black Tides of Heaven is a novella that is based in, it's based in a fantasy world, but it's based in a more Asian derived fantasy world.
Cool.
So seeing fantasy that's not based in that like European Anglo-centric, you know, white dudes in armor, castles kind of theme that is just has become so over oversaturated.
Right, right. It's all swords and sorcery is all Eastern European or Western European, whatever-ish. And it's, yeah, it'd be nice to like, that's actually really exciting. It's like when, not to make, I don't know, really bad, probably really bad comparison, when BioWare was at the height of their powers and they did Jade Empire.
Jade Empire, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, that was an amazing experience because that's exactly what they did was they went, yo, fuck this like normal fantasy. Let's do, you know, let's do Eastern
fantasy. Let's do fantasy set in an Eastern world. And there's so many cool Eastern fantastical ideas, you know, like even the ideas of the vampire in a more Eastern sense is totally different than it is in the Western sense. And I think it's important to identify that, that stuff is also like fantasy isn't just dudes in armor and ladies shooting spells in Scotland or in what wants to be Scotland. Oh, I don't know why Scotland in particular.
I don't know. Because we have Scottish heritage.
I mean, I don't know.
We do.
I hope not.
We're,
do we?
We are. We're part Scottish.
That's
bro. Our dad.
Yeah, but I couldn't trust anything that he said. The man loved to just act like he was okay. Our old man culturally appropriated white culture. If there is such a thing as white culture.
He culturally appropriated anything he could.
He did. He was like, if it's a white thing like Scotland, I'm going to say it's us.
Yeah, but he also culturally appropriated.
Also, by the way, white culture doesn't exist out there. And if you just heard me say white culture and you're like fist pumping right now, stop listening to my fucking podcast.
Yeah, no, you go fuck yourself. Okay. Grow up. Be a fucking human. Be a fucking human. You want to know a little hint? You want to hear a little hint about
what's a little hint? Give me a little hint
about white culture. Is that white culture only exists in its juxtaposition to other cultures?
Are you telling me that white culture is actually an institution of hate?
Yeah, it's a made up concept.
No.
Yeah,
we didn't do it just to aggrandize our own status in the world because we are afraid that other people might for some reason be taking something that we feel belongs only to us.
God, fucking grow up, people.
God, white people, step it the fuck up. Step it the fuck up, you idiots.
It's not hard. It's not hard. Like, this is not a podcast about bitching about stuff like this, but it's also a podcast about bitching about stuff like this. And just fucking grow up, man.
Grow up.
Recognize that, like, you're not the begin-all and end-all of everything. And you don't... it doesn't hurt you if there's a hero of a different color or cultural descent.
No, but... No!
Oh, look, does that hero have different genitals than you?
No!
But guess what? They're allowed to... Oh, my God. Star Wars has a strong female character in it. Guess you gotta hate it.
No, Star Wars directly offends me, okay? It directly offends me as a white man because I just want... Oh, God, fuck it. I can't
just
joke.
But you know what, idiot? Push the mud off.
Just push.
I know I start getting really intense about it because I start getting close to the mic. I start getting pissed off and get all close to the mic.
I'm always close to it. I get you.
Man, no, it makes for bad podcast radio.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, actually. It doesn't. It makes for great podcast radio. It's what I want. And then in June 2021, we are going into a theme that I just affectionately call Devil Horns. There's no name. It is just, it's /M/. Because it's all about metal. Like, we had talked a little bit about this, like wanting to find books about heavy metal that somehow fell into this like sci-fi fantasy.
Not Man of War, because those guys fucking suck. Okay, those
God,
dudes are
but
shitty.
Man of War kills.
No, those guys are fucking shitty. They're shitty people.
Are they bad people?
I'm pretty sure they're shitty.
No.
Yeah.
With the name? No.
Dude, I mean, look at it. Come on. You know those dudes are probably secret men's rights. Like, secret. They're probably public men's rights activists. guys from Man of War, I don't know you personally. I don't actually know because I haven't, like...
If you're not a men's rights activist, I'm going to need you to email us immediately because otherwise confirmed as men's rights activist. MRA confirmed.
Ugh.
So, Man of War, you now need to email us because otherwise... Sorry, you're an MRA. You're
also,
MRA.
How are your fans going to know that you kill? Come on. You got to wear chains and leather, not Cracker Jack clothes, boy.
Didn't they have, like, wasn't one of their big things, wasn't Man of War known for, like, the loudness of their concerts? But I feel like every band is known for that now, right? Yeah. Where, like, any band could go, like, though, my concert was basically louder than a jetliner.
Dude, gotta keep it louder. All men play on 10. If you're not into metal, you're not my friend.
That's the stupidest thing in the world.
I can't believe I still remember Man of War lyrics because I listened to them back when I was a D&D playing fucking high schooler, and I was like, oh, man, this will make me cool. There's a metal band that sings about Dungeons and Dragons. Hey, guess what? There's about, like, 50 metal bands that do that.
Oh, God, there's so many. There's a metal band that sings in Dark Elven, for crying out loud.
Dude, like, that sounds way better than fucking Man of War.
I don't know, man. There's nothing about that sounds like it's good to me anymore. Like, I think maybe 10 years ago, I'd be like, dude, that's so cool. This band writes all its... It's like hearing a metal band that writes all their songs in Klingon. Like,
dude, they're out there. They're out there. Now I gotta find out if they're out there. You keep talking about this next.
I will say that I took a few liberties on this one as well, because the one about metal is it is generally about music in general and you know, in fantasy realms as they are. So the first Stovokor. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Stovokor is the Klingon heaven. It's Stovokor is Klingon Valhalla.
Well, I feel like we might need to watch a little Stovalkor, Stolen Valor Core.
Stovokor. Come on, bro, get with it. You know what Stovokor is?
Stolen Valor?
Oh my God. Whatever, dude. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I actually don't know what Stovo is. I'm
it's not Stovo core, like core. It's the
Stovo core. Like Stovo core is all one word.
Yes.
It's not core, like hardcore.
No, there's an actual
grind
band.
Core.
Right. There's an actual band called Stovo core.
Stovo core. Okay.
But now that I think about it, like, that actually would be a great name for Klingon core metal.
Right. Like,
would be
just Stovo core. Yeah.
Oh, man, I gotta check this out.
Can we be Stovokor as like, can we create that genre?
Clearly. I mean, well, it's already created, so now we just got to make another band in there. They look fucking awesome, by the way.
Do they? No, dude,
they look like fucking idiots.
Stovokor, if you're out there, confirmed as men's rights activists if you do not email us. So
they were formed in 2001 and they're still active.
I think now at this point, I just want to, just like I want to fight bad authors, I want to threaten that we will, like, that we will call you a men's rights activist if you don't email me. Like, that's got to be like,
email
no, dude,
me or you're MRA.
No, dude. No, I'm not an MRA. Just, this is my email confirming that. This is my email confirming that I'm not an MRA, please.
I have to look at my card to make sure I'm not.
Do you see on my forehead right now there's this weird vein that's going up?
Yeah, you're so fucking pissed about men's rights activists.
But no, I don't think it's a vein. It's just light shining off my head. See how it doesn't move? Unless I got an alien.
I had to turn my light off earlier, my overhead light, because it was making weird things happen on my forehead.
Unless I got an alien.
I was freaking out.
Let me tell you what. I actually like the way I look tonight.
You look good, man. Your hair looks good. The color really does great things to, like, the you've got really strong lines in your face. And,
thank you. Can you continue talking about my face,
yeah,
please?
No, you
please tell me more about my face.
Your muscle definition, your face is strong. It looks like you have your face makes you look handsome and honorable. You look like if you were to meet a Klingon, they wouldn't say, "What a weak human."
What a weak baby man.
Yeah. No, they definitely say kapla to you.
Thank you.
And they'd probably tell you that you human would easily make the halls of Stovokor.
Thank you.
It's clear that your family lineage has much white culture.
I was going to say, there's a lot of white culture in your family lineage. There's going to be some asshole out there who just hears snippets of this particular podcast, and they're like, oh, these guys are great. I think they're definitely men's rights activists. Let me email myself really quick to confirm that I'm not a men's rights activist.
I will be emailing you after the episode to let you know that I'm not a men's rights activist.
Dear Rance, not MRA. Thank you so much. Like that's how I feel like they have to tell me. Like, if trapped, headstrong, I'll take on anyone, email me today and said, I'm not a men's rights activist, I'd have to confirm.
No, fuck that guy. He is definitely, he's a sucks. Fucking Proud Boy men's rights activist piece of shit.
Fucking piece
that
of shit.
That fucking though. Scumbag.
That he sucks.
Oh my
that's the,
God.
That's the greatest, I think it's the greatest accomplishment that I've experienced in the past month and a half, is that I was blocked by Trapped
Dude,
on Twitter.
Dudes, there are dudes trying that so hard. They keep begging him to be blocked.
I know. Here's why, is because I made a habit of it. I think I annoyed him every day. I went literally for 2 weeks. Every time he posted, I went to his timeline and would just find one of his posts and put in there, well, here's my fucking daily reminder that Trap sucks. But then I began changing it to, here's my daily reminder that Trap's racist. And every day he would just get so mad. He was like, dude, I'm definitely less racist than you. And I'm like, okay, one, saying that you're less racist is not a good thing.
No.
Two, I'm really not racist. So,
sure that you are a Proud Boy and they are confirmed racists. So,
right.
Hey, dude, brah. My mom's 100% Mexican, though, brah.
That's what he said. He was like, come on, I ain't even white. I was like, dude, look at you. Look at
also,
you.
Also, bro, let's talk about the fact that you also tell everybody that you make more money in one weekend than they make in their entire career. You sold 600 copies of your last album and couldn't even pay the dude who made the cover and the video for it. And that wasn't a lot. You had to pay him like $5,000. It was small claims court bullshit. So
headstrong.
So Chris Trapped McTyler Brown, fuck off. Grow up.
Cool.
Realize that your career's fucking over. Nobody even likes that headstrong song. They all just listen to it and make fun of it. You're an idiot.
No one likes that song. And if they do,
if you do like that song, I don't want to know you.
A little bit of advice for the world at large. If you like that song and you admit that you like that song, you either, I don't know, you're just not a good
Richard
person.
Spencer style punch.
You're right. You're just not a good person.
You're a piece of shit. Okay.
Big old piece of garbaggio.
We never finished talking about what June actually was.
So June is metal, and the first book is Austin Weird by Steve Curry. And the second, as my voice creaks out, is We Sold Our Souls by Grady Hendrix. And I actually am really excited about that one because Austin Weird is the beginning. A lot of these are the beginnings to series. My hope is that maybe we might find a series or two in here that we want to keep reading, just personally. Austin Weird is about a guy who, at the best of my ability or best of my knowledge, he is a bouncer at a metal club. And like an industrial club, and he finds out that he's got like Viking, actual legit like Viking Valkyrie heritage,
okay.
something like that, some magic. I don't fucking know because I know Valkyries are like, you know, whatever. It's women. Okay, I understand. Don't fucking yell at me. I don't know this shit yet. And then We Sold Our Souls by Grady Hendrix is by the guy who Grady Hendrix wrote My Best Friend's Exorcism and Horror Store. Some of the best covers. Like book covers,
okay,
that are on the shelves.
Right.
If you guys have seen a Grady Hendrix book, you know for a fact the guy's covers look fucking great. So we sold our souls.
The sick Larry Correa level covers.
No, it's just like good creative cover.
Like,
yeah, not Larry Correa
epic novels.
Like the one that looked like the front of an IKEA catalog. That was Horror Store. And my best friend's exorcism looks like the front of a VHS tape, like very, very locked into the art is just fucking great. Like cool. Whoever designs his art is so good. So that's where we're headed. We're up through June right now. And I think obviously as the year goes on, we'll fill in the months following that.
And do you think, okay. Can I ask a question for you?
Sure.
Cause I don't want to, What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to double guess.
Double
dep? Second guess your choices.
Yeah, you can 100% second guess my choices.
If you're going for books based around music, not necessarily metal, but music, did Patrick Rothfuss's stuff come to your head?
No, it didn't. It didn't really? At all. No, why? So I'm curious because I'm actually not deeply familiar with Patrick Rothfuss.
I mean, basically, it's about a bard. Like the main character really? Is kind of his magic is mostly like voice based. It's like the idea of that's why like the name of the wind is like it's kind of like this forbidden alchemy and like it's a lot of it. But like and the series isn't done. It's just where it stopped right now. I'm like, that was a weird ending to it.
Because he got a big beard, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. He okay. also he also is good friends with. He was on the same episode of that Will Wheaton show, Tabletop.
Tabletop.
He's been on mm-hmm. Tabletop. That's where I actually first heard about him. Was like, who the fuck is this dude? And then I went back and like read the book, and I was like, shit. Okay, cool.
I could be wrong. I also think he's buddies with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, God, because Lin-Manuel Miranda was like. Like he's apparently a huge fan of his books.
Nice.
And
I mean, you know, that makes sense because Lin-Manuel is a fucking nerd. Has Lin-Manuel written anything like fantasy?
No, not at all.
It was Hamilton because it's fantasy about the founding fathers being good people.
But you know what I think? right. but I think he could. I think he could.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I think he'd actually do a good job. I
mean, he was in Mary Poppins.
He's also in...
the movie that's coming up now that he's in.
He's in the series, the HBO series, The Golden based on The Golden Compass.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is, yeah. Something Machines, what is it?
Yes, his Dark Materials.
That's it.
Which, I watched the first episode, great. It was really? Great. Yeah, cool. Watched the first episode, it was awesome. A while back, I actually watched it with our mother.
Hey man, you know what we're not gonna be reading on this podcast anytime soon?
What's that?
It's a Harry Potter.
Nope, no Harry Potter. Nope. Guess what? Get off here, because you're a fucking turf. JK Rowling, email me and I'll still call you a fucking turf. you might not be an MRA, but you're
Gina Carano, I'm gonna need you to email me. Let me know that you're not a turf. I heard that you're a turf.
Oh man, 100% confirmed for turf.
Man, I really like Cara Dune. That pisses me off.
Well, you know, now at this point, everybody's just ruining themselves with their very important opinions.
You know who doesn't ruin themselves with their very important opinion?
These guys here.
These guys. I was actually going to say, I forgot. I forget.
I don't remember either.
Don't matter. It's us. It's these dudes. That was way to flatten a joke, Bob. Way to take that joke and smash it right into the ground. Good job.
So that's our plan for the coming year. We're also intending to roll out some more organized discussion in these things too, so that way we can talk. You know, when we get the good books, we get a chance to actually talk about them. I just got a Charlie Horse.
Dude. I watched it happen. I watched your face go from like happiness to sadness.
Fuck. Oh, the punch whole muscle tight. It.
Oh, dude. Oh.
Give me a second.
Yep. No, fuck. That's. And it just, you feel it. You feel the muscle just curl over on itself.
What are muscles?
Oh, no.
Dude, Jesus. Ooh.
Wow. Is it better? Is it getting better? Did it loosen up?
There. Oh, it's getting there. There it goes. There it was. Dude, you know when you get that,
you stand up on your tiptoe, like on the ball of your foot.
Really?
Yeah, you lift your heel up.
A Charlie horse relieving itself is one of the next best things.
To doing it.
Yeah. Because, wow, that bitch hit me in an instant.
I remember the first
hot
time
content.
I remember the first time I got a Charlie
you're dying.
Horse. Yeah.
You think
I
you're
was
dying.
Like, what the fuck is happening to my
Am
body?
Am I about to get paralyzed? Uh-huh. Am I about to lose my leg? It's like when you get tight dick.
Oh, not tight dick. Oh, God. Does anybody out there know what tight dick is?
Yeah, it's when your wiener hurts a lot.
Is it? But why does it hurt a lot?
Because you done did it a lot.
You did it a lot or you jerked it too much.
100. It's the second one. It's the second one entirely.
I always, when I was a kid, I always was worried that if I jerked off too much, that powder would come out.
Okay, let me tell you a secret. Let me tell you a secret. Powder for one. Why powder?
Because that's what I associated with drying. Like that if I came so much, it would be dry. And so powder, there was still something there, but if white powder would come out, it would be like sand. I'd be like Mos Deep. I cum powder.
When I was a kid, and I need to actually preface this with, please forgive young me who didn't understand how the body worked.
Don't understand how my body works.
Me neither. And don't think that I would identify this as a danger in people anymore. But I grew up in the, especially this time where I was discovering my body, late 80s, early 90s, during the AIDS scare. I was convinced that because I liked to play with my pee-pee that I was getting AIDS. Like 100%
who told you that jerking it gives you AIDS?
No one.
Somebody had to tell you that.
Nobody. I was just convinced. I was convinced.
Like you misheard something on 60 Minutes and were like, but oh, this day,
but like, I was like, but I want to do it so bad, but also I'm going to get the AIDS.
That's not how AIDS works, man.
I know. Believe me. I know.
We should call this episode Come and Dustin Getting AIDS. Because holy crap, man. You can't get the HIV from jerking it.
I fucking know this. But you go back and tell. I need you to travel back in time. Like we're going to do during April 2021 with Brian Hodges and Blake Crouch's books. To go back and like find me and be like, hey, you're going to be good. Find the younger version of me right before I'm about to do that.
Yo, you can jerk it, bro. It's okay.
What if you
What
if you came to me like right before that, like in my history, like would that be butterfly effect? If you came to me and you were like, yeah, bro, I ain't going to get the AIDS from this.
Maybe. Cause like, maybe it'd be did a lot you implant less sexually that thought repressed.
Did you fucking tell me that, by the way? No. By the way, were you the dickhead?
Why would I do that to you? I was a little. You know who did it to you? Lithia probably did it to you.
Our sister?
Yeah, because she's a fucking piece of shit.
I'm going to confirm her for MRA if she doesn't email me.
Yeah, Lithia, email us.
Please email us because otherwise you're a men's rights activist. I like how we have actively chosen to blackmail people into like.
We're not asking for anything except an email.
Yeah, no, I just need an email that confirms. Like, I am not. You can even use this language. I am not MRA.
Not NRA. MRA. Not NRA.
Yeah, if you say NRA, you're done. If you misspell anything in there, you're done. Men's rights activist, 100%.
What if somebody emails you and says, I'm not MRA or NRA?
Nope, done. Because that tells me they're trying to avoid the circumstance. It's like trying.
Of being a gun owner?
No, I don't want to know. I don't care about that part right now. Okay. I care about this topic that they are confirmed or non-confirmed for MRA.
Got it. Okay.
It's like Illuminati. It's like I only care about that. Like
Illuminati, are you Illuminati? Email us. Confirm it.
Yeah, confirm it. I don't give a fuck about Masons or aliens. I give a fuck about Illuminati, okay?
Didn't know, man. Sorry, didn't know you're so fucking passionate about Illuminati and MRA. God, but
I need to start making myself more muscles.
Man, do 60 fucking push-ups like I did the other day.
Oh, no, I need to.
Holy
I need to.
Shit, by the way, my tits hurt after that.
Yes, the chesticle area. Uh-huh. You have been really crushing it lately with your physical wellness, and I want to tell you that it looks good.
Look at
that looks
wimpy
good.
Little muscle.
Hey, wimpy.
Little baby muscle.
That ain't wimpy. That ain't wimpy.
Zoom it closer to the
That's pushing
camera.
Through a lot of fat right there.
It
so,
is pushing through a lot of fat, man. I still got bingo wings.
You look really good, though, dude. Yeah, so do I, though. I got bingo wings. So you look really good, man. You should be really proud of yourself.
You look good, too, man. I am proud of myself. You know what's funny? I've been sitting at the same sub-200 weight for about the past month, and I'm starting to get pissed off about it, though.
Hey.
Come on now. I've got a goal. I've got a goal weight, and I'm 10 pounds away from that goal weight.
What's your goal weight?
185.
185. Let me tell you what. You hit that 185, you are just by circumstance, not by work or anything like that, by circumstance, you are only about 6 pounds heavier than I am.
Nice. Nice.
Like, that's insane. That's honestly insane. Think, you and I, know, I have not
been. Because I've always
been
the fat brother.
You 100% have always been the fat brother. No, it just.
Nothing wrong
I
with
think
that.
Our
There's
bodies,
nothing wrong with that.
I think our bodies are naturally attuned to taking on this shape as we get older. I mean, we're both basically. We're not far from being middle-aged men.
I am a middle-aged man.
But I also think nowadays middle age is like peaking up to like 52 to 55.
No, dude, 55 is senior citizen.
It's like when you start shooting dust, man. It's like when you start shooting dust.
I just did that from jerking off too much.
Yeah, right. But so you started being a kid when you were that young, right? Yeah. You started being a.
I mean, I've been an old man.
So what about us who are afraid of getting who are being tested HIV positive because they jerked off a lot?
Go get a test, man. Go fucking. Did I tell you that my doctor? My doctor keeps telling me that he needs me to come in for blood tests, make sure that I don't have HIV. Like, that's the thing he keeps saying. He's like, just come in, man. Come get some blood work done. Want to do HIV tests. I'm like, bro, I don't have HIV. It's cool. Like, I've been tested for HIV in, like, the past year, just not by you.
This is how they confirm. So this is how you know you're healthy, actually. I can confirm this because my doctor has been doing the same thing to me for 2 years. They're like, just go get some lab work done. And I'm like, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want somebody showing a needle in my arm.
Right, just go get in the next year or so. Like, so it's not drastic. It's just like they want it for the next essential appointment.
They
want
it for my records.
But I'm going to forget. I hate getting my blood drawn. I cry like a baby. Give me a cookie and an orange juice. Tell me to settle down, Shelby. It's not going to help me out any.
Settle down, Shelby. Fucking hot Steel Magnolias reference there, dude.
Thanks, man.
The worst part is, does anybody listening to this podcast even know what the hell you're talking about?
I don't know, but whoever made, I'm going to need Trudy to email me to confirm that she's not MRA.
It's Truvy. Okay. Get it right. It's Truvy, Shelby, Malin.
I thought it was Trudy.
Weezer. Truvy with a V because it's a made up name. Yeah, Truvy Weezer. And
I look just like MRA now.
Man, come on, not gonna remember the last name, the last character.
Malin.
I said Malin because Malin was the mom.
Okay, who you got? Who you got?
Okay, I got Truvy.
Truvy. She owns. Let's talk about some Steel Magnolia talk for a second. Truvy owns
the parlor.
The hair salon.
Malin is the mom.
Malin, mom. Confirmed for mom.
Confirmed mom. Shelby, confirmed Shelby. Daughter with.
Diabetes.
Is it just diabetes? Because she has insulin, right? That's
right.
Yeah.
It's this is written back in the day when diabetes is like people.
Diabetes
it's like
murder you.
Like apparently, if you go to the Rose Steel Magnolias, it's like you're gonna die if you have diabetes. Like you're gonna fucking die. Like I'm not shaming anybody who has diabetes, right? Like, but
yeah,
also
no, fucking diabetes does suck. We're both going to get it.
But.
It runs in our family.
She don't drink orange juice. She's going to die. Okay,
no,
so you got
no,
three.
No, drink orange juice. So, yes, Shelby, Malin.
Malin.
Truvy. Weezer.
Truvy. Weezer.
Okay, wait, is there another?
Yes.
I know there's another. There's the girl. There's the younger girl. The younger girl? No, the younger girl that gets pregnant. Oh, God. For some reason, Jezebel jumps in my head because she always jokes. She jokes about her being a Jezebel. It's a joke. Don't tell me. Don't fucking tell me, dude, because this is going to. Good night. This is going to kill me. This is going to kill me.
I got you. I got your back. I know who it is. I got you. Yep. Wow. We're all. Okay. One of them starts with an A. Daryl Hannah in the movie. You're so close.
Not Annabelle. It's not Annabelle.
You're so close.
Is it a fake name? Is it another one of those fucking
fake
names?
Yeah, it's another sort of fake names.
Like Truvy.
Yep.
Man, I can't. I don't know.
Annalie.
Yeah. Fucking dumb.
And then there's yeah, let me give you the other one. You're never gonna get it. Clary,
that's it. She's the one that was that the one that was Olivia Dukakis?
Yes. Olympia Dukakis. Yep.
Olympia Dukakis. Yeah. So,
yep. And
yeah,
then we got all the goalies. Then we got Tom Skerritt played.
Boo! Skerritt?
Boo. Tom Skerritt played Drum.
Oh, man. Drum. Drum was always shooting his gun off because of the damn dog.
And Sam Shepard played Spud.
Okay, can we talk about the fact that way too much of our life was sucked up by Steel Magnolias when we were kids because we were in a stupid theater family. And members of our family have been in that show. Our dad has directed it, and we've worked on tech for it, and our mom was in it, and our sister was in it, and everyone in our family
twice
was in it. It's too much. Too much Steel Magnolias.
I'm going to need us to put that fucking movie/play to rest now. Look, guys, because here's the thing. I'm gonna come out hot on this one. You ready?
Yes.
I'm gonna come out hot on this one. I think Steel Magnolias, when was it originally produced as a movie? Do you remember?
1987.
So close. 89.
What?
Damn. At the height of what? What's going on in the world?
The AIDS scare?
Absolutely. And you know what? I would not damn well be surprised if Steel Magnolias is the white fear version of the AIDS scare, like using diabetes as a surrogate. Let's think about that. Let's think about that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Like we went way off the rails this week, by the way.
But I think it's true. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like it's a tame. It's like. It's like the Scare Factory is to Halloween.
Yes.
Steel Magnolias is to the AIDS crisis.
Bingo. There you go. That's exactly it.
Steel
That's
Magnolias
exactly
is
it.
the okay. Steel Magnolias is the Halloween version of the Scare Factory version of Rent.
Yes. Yes. Good reference back. Good pulling it back. Actually, according to Wikipedia, the gentleman who wrote Robert Harling, he actually wrote it because of the complications of his sister passing away from diabetes. So, like, you know, in respect to him, that you know that sucks.
Hey, that does suck,
so I don't want to like I don't want to shit on
guess
him, but Robert Harling.
People. Are you an MRA?
I'm going to need you to email me, Robert Harling. Is he still alive, you think?
If from the grave, we'll have to do, are we going to have to do a seance?
100% still alive and also remarkably young.
Oh, hey, well then, Robert Harling, send us an email, confirm negative on the MRA test.
I'm going to need your MRA test to be negative, please. Yeah, he's 68.
Is that what our new 60 season is about? Is just confirming whether or not people are not MRAs?
I think so.
Fucking
well, you know what?
Dudes.
Me too. Well, that looks to be about what we got planned here. So this is sort of the transition to season two. So next time we get together, we're going to be talking about Frank Herbert's Dune. I've started taking a lot of notes on it too, and I really actually can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah. Do you want to get through? We're going to get through book one, right? Like
yes,
that's about where
yep
we're going to stop is book one of Frank Herbert's
yep
Dune. It's three books, I believe. So
yeah,
and I'm like in the text of the book, three books. Mm-hmm. Pick it up on Audible. It's a great version, actually. Like, are you reading it or listening to it?
Oh, I'm listening to it. And yeah. I'm giving you a big eyebrow raise for
really
that.
I find I find. Let me. I'm finding an interesting part of it being that they make a weird choice in the fact that sometimes characters are voiced by the narrator, sometimes they're voiced by other people.
And there is literally no reason to explain. Just one chapter is all the narrator. The next chapter, it's all of a sudden you got Duke Leto and Paul are talking to each other and they're like actors. And Duke Leto's voice, amazing actor.
They're actually all great actors, I think.
Yeah.
See, I think that's one of the things that I do like. And you're right.
But the boy who plays Paul, he sounds like this. He sounds like, honestly, he sounds a bit like Theon from Game of Thrones.
That changes. It changes later on.
Because he's going to become older.
Yeah. And not even because he becomes older, he just gets more mature over the course of the story.
So he becomes what's his name?
Mordib.
What's his name? He becomes Reek.
Ramsay Bolton. Oh, I see. Whatever. It's fine. We're talking about Game of Thrones anyway. Don't worry about it. We'll talk about Game of Thrones next week.
Yeah, yeah. So let's do that thing. So we will see you guys here.
Wait, real quick. I got to stop real quick.
Sure.
Before we finish. I almost stabbed my dick. I'm literally just sitting here with a pair of scissors, spinning them on my hand, just playing with scissors like a not adult human being. And I almost dropped them. And as I dropped them, my hand went to grab them. I went to catch it. But in catching it, I was pushing it. And I almost pushed it right into my...
You almost pushed the mud off. You almost pushed your dick
almost
off.
Almost turned myself into an MRA. And by that I mean an incel. Because I'm gonna need, I wouldn't be able to...
You want to just toss your fedora on, and I'm going to need you to send me an email.
All right. I'll get right on it. Hold on.
Thank you.
Done. Not an MRA.
Thank you. Let me check this email here real quick. Oh, I get an email here from Bob, a Quarantine Book Club. Let me check this. Let me open it up. Subject is not an MRA. Here we go. Hello, Vrance. My name is Bob. You may know me from the Quarantine Book Club and other related podcasts, such as the Apple Petcast. I just want to let you know that I am not, I repeat, not a men's rights activist / MRA. This is my email confirming, so all due best wishes, your friend, Bob of the Quarantine Book Club. What a really thorough email, my friend.
Man,
like, I really
practicing.
Feel... I thank you. I really feel like that is. I think it's just a cover up for you being an MRA.
Oh shit! How'd you know?
Well, you got anything you want to before we close this thing off? Anything that you want to run us through?
Yeah, of course. As usual, you can find us at our website www.thequarantinebookclub.com. I'm not going to say this too many more times this year, but if you don't add the "v," you're going to end up on a much shittier quarantine book club
that wants you to pay for shit.
That's not as fun. Just not as fun. Don't forget to also check us out on Facebook at the Quarantine Book Club. Follow us on Instagram at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. You can also find both of us on Twitch. I am twitch.tv/bobdesign. And my companion, Rance, here is...
twitch.tv/violenceobscene.
Yes, that's just like it sounds. Violence obscene.
Thoughts of shine. Because after all, we shall come all for violence.
Dude, I can't wait for next week to talk about this book. Man, we included that sample. Maybe I'll find it somewhere.
I wish we could find that particular song. So Bob and I were in a band a long time ago where we used a sample from Dune, and the song just happened to be called
Violence
Obscene.
Awesome. All right. Hey, guess what? I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
This has been the Quarantine Book Club. We'll see you next week. Everybody, stay safe. Be kind to each other.
See ya.